And this is KTWHLP 99.5 FM in Two Harbors, Minnesota. It's time to turn up your dial and start to smile. It's time for the Beet Farm.
Here's a little song you can all join in with. It's very simple and I hope it's new. Make your own words up if you want to. Any old words that you think will.
Everyone, thanks for joining us on the Beet Farm Show at KTWH 99.5 FM, Two Harbors, Minnesota, and streamed at ktwh.org. The Beet Farm is all about local singer-songwriters live in the studio every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Beet Farms are replayed the following Sunday at 3 p.m. as well. Anyone can also access archive shows of all kinds at ktwh.org. We're Leslie and Carl, and our Beet Farm show is live on the third Friday of the month. Thanks ever so much for listening, and today we're so elated to welcome our guest from the Duluth Superior area, Rafe Carlson. Welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's good to be back up here.
Oh, yeah. We're just going to love it. I've been following you a bit on Facebook, and I'm just really, really into your music. How about starting us off with a song?
Oh, right from the get-go.
Right from the get-go.
Well, this is one I wrote down in Nashville with a buddy of mine, Tim Rushlow. He was the lead singer in the band Little Texas back in the 90s. And this is one some people might know. This is called Just Can't Explain.
Out on my own, just kind of getting by and taking it slow. I had it figured out as far as I knew. I was not expecting you. You should have changed my point of view. 'Cause you do something to me that I can't explain. Make me see in color when I used to see gray. Swing a single, but something new is brewing in my brain. You do something that I just can't explain. I like the way you let me just be me. You chill your lay back, you just let things breathe. You've got a way down in that gypsy soul. Go, baby, I wanna go. 'Cause you do something to me that I can't explain. Make me see in color when I used to see gray. I was swinging single, but something new is brewing in my brain. You do something that I just can't explain. Like an angel, you showed up and saved my soul. 'Cause you do something to me that I can't explain. Make me see in color when I used to see gray. I was swinging single, but something new was brewing in my brain. 'Cause you do something to me that I can't explain. Just can't explain. Just can't explain. Oh, something that I just can't explain.
Oh, got a cheering section in the
we
back
do,
of the studio.
We do. Yeah. Well, everybody who's in the studio is always interested in the guests that we have and listen and intently. And so that was a song called Just Can't Explain. Just Can't Explain.
Just can't with an apostrophe. Sometimes I forget to type that. And
yeah.
The internet gets mad at me.
Uh-oh.
No, yeah. That's I wrote that in Nashville. That was actually, I think, my first or my second co-write I ever did in Nashville. And kind of just wound up at Tim Rushlow's house by some weird circumstance. So I was really, really lucky. We became really good friends, and the rest is history. But, you know, like anything, the more you do it, the better you get at it. And songwriting is no exception to that, for sure. So being one of the first songs I wrote and still being one I play is kind of weird, because usually you just get better. And that was one of the songs I wrote early on that ended up being decent, you know.
Oh, yeah. And probably people who know you might even ask you for it. Can you tell me, who is Tim Rushlow, though? He must be somebody important in writing in Nashville, is that right?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's written some great songs. You know, any 90s country fans will know Little Texas. You know, God Bless Texas, Amy's Back in Austin, What
right.
Might Have Been, Kick a Little. You know, one of the biggest country groups, country artists from the 90s, and they sold millions and millions of records. He's himself, from the different projects he's been in, I think 20, 30 million albums. So he actually just got signed to a record deal with BMG. He's, I think, the oldest person that they've signed. He got another record deal with the frontman. So it's him and Richie McDonald, the lead singer of Lone Star, and Larry Stewart from Restless Heart. And so they have a three-piece called The Frontman, and we've opened for them a handful of times.
Oh, how nice. Wow.
And they're great. They put on a heck of a show.
Yeah. And so that's... And we were just speaking about Tim Rushlow, somebody who co-wrote the song we just heard, Just Can't Explain.
Yeah.
And we're loving having Rafe Carlson here live in the studio. Can you play another one for us right away?
For sure.
All right.
Just do this the whole time.
All right.
Well, this is a song. This is something I had Mellencamp and Springsteen and a kind of a, you know, that kind of a kick a little while back, and I went into a writing session with some of my friends in Nashville. Cale Dodds, who he had a lot of hits with Florida Georgia Line, and Chase Rice, and then my buddy Justin Halpin. We sat down and we were like, let's write something that's kind of in that, you know, that Mellencamp, that Springsteen kind of thing. So we came up with this. The song's called Get Back.
We were parked in the sand underneath the stars, lying on the hood of my car. She was just a little bit older now, was learning how to steal a heart. I said 17, first time feeling that, never gonna give back. A couple long goodbyes to some friends of mine, who never thought we'd graduate. Talking about the real world, I'm ready for whatever's gonna come our way. I said 23, first time feeling that, you're never gonna give back. 'Cause it comes and it goes, and it's over just like that. And you learn as you go, it's the good ones that just don't last. Try and hold on. Truck and heading down south. I've never been to Tennessee. When the roads you home, the songs are bred, and Nashville's where you dream. I said 25, first time feeling that, you're never gonna get back. 'Cause it comes and it goes, and it's over just like that. And you learn as you go, it's a good one. green eyes tell you what forever means. They never want this night to end. It makes you want to take a knee. They say it's you and me, first time feeling that we're never gonna give back. Cause it comes, it goes, and it's over just like that. And you learn as you go, as the good ones that just don't last.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very nice. Another co-written song by Rafe Carlson and others called Get Back. And that was co-written, right?
Yeah, down in Nashville. That, you know, a lot of what goes on down there is, it's a different thing. Writing a Nashville song and writing a song in your bedroom up in Minnesota is a very different process, very formulaic down there. And I don't mean this in a bad way. It's just a different skill set. It's very formulaic. It's very mechanical, but it's a lot of fun. It's just a totally different thing than sitting down by yourself and writing a song. You
know? Yeah, I imagine. I mean, well, and then isn't it more difficult to write a song with others? I mean, personally, I always work better alone than in small groups, yeah. But how does that go for you?
I'm the same way. It's tough for I have a tougher time co-writing than I do just going ahead and making a song happen on my own. But, you know, I know people that are really, really good at co-writing as a skill. And those people, I mean, it's a skill in and of itself to be able to co-write, not necessarily even the song that comes out of it, just being able to work with people
right.
in a co-write situation. And yeah, I know some people down there, they're incredible at that, you know, but I'm definitely in the camp that's better at just sitting down
right.
by myself.
So yeah, it's two different skills really. And maybe in school it was even harder for me to work in small groups than in alone in college. I can remember that really.
Yeah.
All right, so again, that was Get Back. I loved that song.
Thank you.
And I just noticed that one of our wonderful volunteers just walked in. And so it's Kim Leon. Hey, Kim. You know, I'm glad that I saw you, and because I really do want to mention that there are other ways to see Rafe, of course, live at certain venues where he'll be playing in the community. But also, our station has a really fun thing that helps people to get to know the music and the personalities of different singer-songwriters in our area. And it's called the Featured Focus Artist Series. And I know that Rafe had a couple of spots, a couple of sessions. Can you tell me about that? I know that Kim and Jose Leon came with their cameras. And what happened there? What was that like?
It was two very, very different sessions. The first one was really fun. I believe it was an old abandoned church or something. Down right in Two Harbors, so we came up for that one, and that was just me. It was a solo interview.
Uh-huh.
Got to play a few songs. That was a good time. And then the second one, we had the full band down at Pier B, and we got to do an interview on the Sundew on the big boat in the harbor, so that was fun.
Oh, that must have been really cool. How did you arrange that? Or I suppose Kim and Jose arranged that for you? I mean...
The guy that owns the Sundew happens to be a friend of myself and the band, so we just gave him a ring and said, can we jump up and bring a bunch of cameras and mics up onto the sun deck where you have all
yeah.
your parties and stuff.
Cool.
It was cool.
It was Brianne Marie's uncle that stayed on deck that night.
Oh.
Stayed late for us. So
oh, wow.
He's part of the crew.
All right. That's yeah. cool. And actually, my grandson is a chef at
Pier B.
Pier B at the restaurant there. We love it. All right, so how about another song?
Another one.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah.
What will this one be?
This is one that, so we were talking a little bit about people that are really, really gifted in the art of working with others and co-writing, and this is a, I started writing a couple years ago now with a guy, his name's Troy Kemp, and he was a, he's a big country artist in Australia. He was in a duo over there, he still is, and he goes back and tours in their summertime, which is our wintertime, I think. But he moved to Nashville. He plays on Broadway, and he's just an incredible songwriter. And we write, we still try to write at least once a week over Zoom, you know, now that I'm back up here. But yeah, this one we sat down and wrote kind of just about...
What's Troy's last name?
Troy Kemp.
Kemp, with a C, with a K?
With a K.
Okay.
He's a great guy.
And this one's called...
This song's called Chase That Storm. It's this is one that some guys might be able to relate to. She's gonna roll in on a Saturday night, get you all messed up in a minute. She got a game that she likes to play. Guy and he's trying to win it. Pretty wildfire, so take the drinks you buy. And you won't hear the sirens until it's too late. She's a driving rain, she's a hurricane, like lightning in the dark. She'll make you fall in love, and she'll tear you up like a twister through your heart. If you're trying to chase that storm. You think you found that grain of grass, but the aftermath, it ain't worth it. It should blow your mind and hang you out to dry. And on the other side, you'll be hurting. She's batting them lashes, so batting down the hatches. Lock all of the latches while you still can. She's a driving rain, she's a hurricane, like lightning in the dark. Make you fall in love, and she'll tear you up like a twister through your heart. Oh, 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 don't say you ain't been warned. If you're trying to chase that storm.
Oh yeah. Chase That Storm.
More of a rocking one.
Yeah, nice. So that was co-written by our guest Rafe Carlson and Troy Kemp.
Yeah.
And Chase That Storm, yeah. Maybe a little bit more for men to relate to, but it's
a
great
song.
Yeah, it is a very good song.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's talk about your guitar just a little bit. People are interested sometimes, especially moms and dads saying, you know, I don't know if we can afford to get our kid a guitar because they cost so much. But anyway, there's all different prices. And honestly, I don't know if I, a non-guitar player, have ever heard of the make of your guitar. What is it again?
Yeah, it's a Larravee. They're made up in British Columbia. They're made in Vancouver. And they used to be made, I don't know if the guy's still around, but his name was Gene Larravee. And I think he made them all by hand for a while. It's, of course, you know, grown a lot since then. But, yeah, it's a great, you know, mine is it's a jumbo. So it really projects. I like playing it for anything where I'm not hooked up and I need to get some volume out.
So what you're playing it mostly at acoustic gigs?
Yeah, I bring it to a lot of my acoustic gigs now, you know, and I have way too many guitars, so I try to cycle between, you know, keep them all in the rotation so you don't end up with a favorite child and the other ones get mad.
Oh, that's true. There you go. How nice of you.
Can you plunk that one in?
Yeah, so I bring this to, you know, if I ever do a solo, some kind of, I bring it to private shows, I bring it to that kind of a thing, and It's a good campfire guitar too if you're just strumming with some buddies because it's got some volume too. But yeah, Larravee is a brand. You know, this one, I got really lucky. I think this was made in 1997, and you know, I found it for a third or a quarter of what it's probably worth.
Oh, wow.
Down in St. Paul at a used instrument shop. But I don't even know if they make this model anymore. But it's a great guitar.
Hey, I heard there's a new guitar store in Superior.
Yeah, I stopped in there. They got some good stuff.
All right, good, yeah. Good. I know it's right there by Kitty Corner from Super One. What were you going to say, Carl?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. We'll get on here then. Let's see. When did you start doing music?
Professionally... coming up on three, it's actually next week will be 3 years, I think. Yeah, May 1st, I left my job. I was selling trailers and campers and RVs up in Duluth.
Yeah, that's what I read. And yeah. I don't know, one of my girlfriends said her folks bought one from you and he was a great salesperson.
Oh, really? Well, I appreciate that. You know, it was a tough job to leave. It's a great family up there. It was a lot of fun, and it was, you know, kind of just you earn what you're worth, and that's how every job I've ever had has been. You know, I've never had a consistent paycheck, so in anything I've done.
Oh!
So it's just, you know, that's just kind of how my brain works, I guess. So it lends itself more for being a musician. I think it kind of sets you up for that kind of thing. But I definitely learned a lot working there that's helped me in this. But
I'll bet.
It was fun. I miss those days. It was a...
recreational vehicle city up there, yeah.
And it's different than selling cars, you know, because people come in and it's like, I already need a car. But people are buying a camper, they're going to go camping, so they're going to in a good mood.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Very true. So when I was reading about that, let's see, what there was something I was going to say. Sorry, I lost it, but it was along the lines of the recreational vehicle. Anyway, you went from there right to Nashville. Is that right? From selling recreational vehicles to doing your Nashville thing.
Which, that's one of the things in retrospect that is really crazy to think about, you know, because 2 weeks back then was a long time, and now 2 weeks to me is, you know... not as much as it was back then.
Sure.
But I think about 2 weeks after I left my job, I had never played a show before. I never really sang for people.
What?
Never been to Nashville.
Oh, my gosh.
Recorded a song, never played. I mean, I played for my family and some friends a little bit here and there. Yeah. You know, posted some videos on the internet. But, yeah, I think 2 weeks to the day after I left my job, I had my first show. And then a couple days after that, I flew to Nashville. And went right into the studio with songs I'd written that. So it was, that was a big May of, what was it, 2021. A lot happened.
And so how does that happen? You go in, you book some time in a studio, and people who know music are listening to you. Is that it?
No, it's more. I got hooked up with a kind of a handshake manager out of Portland, Oregon.
Oh.
And we had talked a lot over the phone. She hooked me up with a producer that was in Nashville.
Oh.
Who ended up being still one of my best friends, you know.
Yeah.
One of the.
Oh, I see. So there was a connection, somebody who hooked you up with somebody who could help you.
Yeah, and you know, and I got down there. You don't know what to expect. Never been to Nashville before, and he came in his pickup truck to the airport and gave me a big hug, and I was like, "This is cool." And everybody down there is like that, you know. It's just
yeah,
people get along. It's just it's good old boys and good old girls kind of town. So people are easy to get along with, and it's really it's very welcoming. At least I found it to be that way. And we got in the studio. I wrote a few songs, recorded them. You know, and in retrospect, I was just trying to get my career off the ground and get stuff started and get music out. And looking back on it now, after the, you know, hundreds and hundreds of songs I've written since then that are so much better, you know, it's like, did I put my best foot forward? No, but I didn't have anything else to put forward. You had to get something out there. You know?
Yeah, and that just propelled you. It was good enough to propel you.
Right.
Right?
And the early days are, you know, what you see a lot of the times is if an artist gets you know, their big break or whatever, get signed by a major label. A lot of times a label will kind of erase whatever they have out there and make it appear as if it's a fresh start for the artist, you know.
Oh.
So you never know.
I mean,
I don't know how much longer these songs that I have out will last because of my sound is going in a slightly different direction with the stuff we have coming out in the near future here.
Yeah, so. And let's touch on that a little bit. When you say what we have coming out, I mean, because here you are alone, and our listeners are listening to you alone. So
yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about the we part of your career?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, I started out just doing solo shows around Duluth and Superior and grew from there. And then I was, you know, going down to Eau Claire, up to Virginia, then... Mm. You know, going down towards Chicago and Iowa and playing all over the place. And eventually, after, you know, I don't know how many trips back and forth to Nashville, writing songs, doing this and that, I was like, I got to put a band together because I was having to almost pass up on opportunities to really play some big shows and really advance my career because I didn't have a band.
So, oh, that's so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get
and
it.
I'd always wanted to play in a band anyways. And it was just easy for me being that, you know, individual brain where it's like if I'm playing solo, I'm in charge of everything.
There you go.
I don't have to worry about anyone else.
Yeah.
So it was easy. It's definitely not always easy having a band, but it's definitely worth
dynamic.
It. Oh, totally.
Yeah, Carl said different dynamic. Yeah.
It's like its own entity. It's like a living, breathing creature. Sometime.
How many people are in that band, Shenandoah, with you?
Shenandoah. Well, Shenandoah is not my band. We're opening for them in.
Oh yeah.
June. But my band is my two cousins, my two older cousins, play guitar. And
wow.
We got a bass player and a drummer. So we're a five-piece.
Five-piece, wow.
And I think when we're with Shenandoah, we might add a sixth. So.
Oh, nice.
It'll be a busy stage.
Yeah, sure. You know, listeners, how I got Shenandoah was because I was asking Rafe where he might be playing in the area, and... I missed it. He said he was warming up, that his band is warming up for Shenandoah. And where is that going to be?
That's at the, I believe it's at the fairgrounds. The
right here in Two Harbors.
Yeah.
On June 14th.
What's the name of the band?
And so the name of your band is?
Rafe Carlson.
Yeah, okay. So that's going to be right here in Two Harbors at the fairgrounds on June 14th. So... make sure you catch this guy with his full band. And actually, like I said before, you still can go on ktwh.org and look for those featured Focus Artist Series performers that Kim and Jose have been having a lot of fun with. And you can see Rafe's full band that they recorded at Pier B in just last year. So that's kind of a fun thing. Let's see. Well, it's time for a little station ID. You are listening to KTWH 99.5 Two Harbors, Minnesota, and ktwh.org. And you know already this is Leslie and Carl on our Beat Farm show. If you'd like to hear more music and backstories of local talent, please do go to those feature focus artists series, and you can find those at ktwh.org. Look up so many local musicians that have been recorded, and you'll just be enjoying some online concerts that way. And how about another song? Rafe Carlson.
Yeah, that's something, you know, you never really know what direction a song is going to go in. As I've kind of crafted, I guess, my sound and my thing and my image and my brand as an artist, you know, the sound is kind of, it follows who you are. Your identity kind of builds your sound, so to speak. And at least that's been my experience. You know, I'm probably not going to go out and play disco. Just the type of person I am lends itself to be more, you know, southern rock, pretty gritty rock and country. So that's what we've developed the past couple of years. And this is a song that I wrote not even too long ago, but it just took its own direction and ended up sounding like a really old country song, which is, you know, you write a lot of songs that you're not necessarily going to go record or do anything with, but somebody else might. And so this is one that we're sending it off up and down Music Row and seeing if anybody wants to record it right now. It's called If You Walked In. This old bar don't get me buzzing like it used to. No, there ain't that much that gets me out these days. Thought I left those last call nights in the rearview of my life. So why the hell am I back here again? 'Cause if you walked in, I'd probably stick around. I'm trying to pick up in the place that we left off. Drunk and dancing, spin around. Beat up jukebox sound. If you walked in, I'd probably stick around. Could have walked right down to Bobby's for 2 for 1. Instead of making that old 20-minute drive, it's all those memories that we had. They keep calling me on back. Think I'll take one more whiskey over ice. 'Cause if you walked in, I'd probably stick around. I'm trying to pick up in the place that we left off. Drunk and dancing, spin around to a beat up jukebox sound. Walked in, I'd probably stick around. Well, it's close to closing time, and I'm close to heading out. But if you walked in, I'd probably stick around. Trying to pick up in the place that we left off. Drunk and dancing, spin around to a beat up jukebox sound. If you walked in, I'd probably stick around. If you walked in, I knew I'd stick around.
Yeah, really, really, really nice.
That's a country song.
Yeah, it is. And you said you wrote that one maybe not thinking that you or you and your band would necessarily record it, but it would be out there, I guess, in the cloud, and somebody else might pick up on it.
Yeah, and that's a lot of what happens in Nashville, especially these days. People are making their career from writing songs for other people, you know. And if you're an artist, you know, if you go down there, I mean, if you're going to be a real artist and you're going to write your own songs, well, you might write 1,000 songs and you might record 100 of them or 150 of them in your career.
Right.
Or maybe more. But the rest of the songs, maybe one of your friends might sing it.
Yeah.
You know? So there's songs. I don't even know how many songs are written every day on Music Row, but there's a lot.
I'll bet. But that's kind of a neat way to think about it, that not every song is going to suit you and or suit your band, and it's out there. And I like that idea. So you really started playing guitar not until you were 14.
Yeah.
And I did read something that your father was a really good influence. You talked before about your work ethic, and I think I read that your father was one who influenced you in that way to have a really good work ethic. And what it said in one of your biographies, positive role model, an example of the importance that hard work would play in earning a living at what you love.
Yeah.
Or something like that, yeah.
Completely. And my mom, you know, she was in bands her young life and in the 80s, and she was in country bands that traveled and played a lot around here.
Ah.
She's got an amazing voice, and she was definitely an influence in me picking up the guitar, you know, when I was younger. But yeah, you know, I come from a family that's very musical. Not necessarily my dad. That's the work ethic part of things, not the music part of things.
Uh-huh. There you go.
But, you know, my cousins and my aunts and uncles, and I've got a great family, a lot of really musical people. And like I said, my two older cousins play guitar, electric guitar in my band. So that's really exciting to, you know, have them. I grew up watching them, you know, play rock and roll when I was just a kid.
Sure.
Thinking I could never sit up on a stage and play
Because they were
people. Oh, they're quite a bit older than I am.
Oh.
Yeah. And now they come on the road with me and we
How cool.
Yeah, it's a
family affair. You know, and then here's just a little quote that I thought was precious that you said our family's closeness was centered around playing music. You said that. And that's, you know, that just says it all.
Completely.
So that's a wonderful thing, and I had no idea it was an extended family with, you meant with your cousins and everything. How cool is that?
Well, and that's something too. You know, growing up, and then you meet other kids, and you know, they refer to their family as their mom and dad and brother and sister. And for me, my family was always just this giant
band
group of Carlsons. Yeah, we have such a huge family, so it was just I didn't grow up with any brothers and sisters. My cousins were, you know, I'd hang out with them multiple nights a week, and it was basically my brothers and sisters. So it was a fun time. I remember my grandpa on my dad's side, when he passed away, we had a family choir. We did the same thing for my grandma too, but all the cousins together at Sunrise right there by Menards in the Hermantown or Duluth, and all got together. There's a video of it. I don't know if it's on YouTube or not, but I guess I was seven, maybe, or eight or nine.
Wow.
We're all singing.
Oh.
Singing these songs my grandpa used to sing. You know, and so it's a big
precious
old happy family of musicians and people that just super, super talented singers. And,
oh, I love that. Yeah. And, you know, some families, they maybe aren't so talented, but when music is a big part of the family, what could you ask for to be any better? That's the way I look at it, when music is this, you know, partly the center in a whole family. Way cool. So how about another song?
Let's do it. This is one we play with the band. Tour. It's become kind of a a fan favorite, and it's one that, you know, we watch, we look out in the crowd, and people are singing along to it, and it's not out to listen to, so it's just people singing, knowing the words from seeing us play it live so many times. And I play it live when I play solo, too. It's definitely not a country song. Maybe there's some country elements to it, but this is another one from the early days. I wrote this sitting at the edge of my bed at the Comfort Inn down in Nashville on Demumbrian Street, not knowing what was going on, how to write a song or anything. And this is one of the few that came out of those days that was, you know, still worth playing. So this is called Ride With Me.
Picked up the pieces of your broken dreams. Quit chasing temporary feelings. You swore you'd keep yourself away from me, 'cause I wasn't something that you needed. Yeah. That summer jumping in the water, and I was thinking it sure was good before I messed around and lost her. So I'll pretend it's fine and it's all right with me. You keep moving on. So you can ride with me. Alright. It's never easy in the in between. Can't tell what's coming and what's leaving. So girl, still so you can ride with me. Ooh, ride with me, baby.
Yeah, Ride With Me, another original by Rafe Carlson. You know, you just barely touched on you said the word style, or it's not really a country song or something like that. It's so hard for me to put almost all music into any labels, style labels these days. I don't know if that's even a worthwhile subject to talk about, because crossing over of styles is so much the norm, and I love it.
Yeah, totally.
I definitely, if you had to put it in a category, wouldn't call that a country song. But
as an artist, you never want to, you know, it's not in your nature, it's not your instinct to try to categorize your own songs. That's something the industry tries to, you know,
there
force
you go.
You to do.
There you go.
You know, but good luck making money or making a name for yourself if you don't find a niche.
I suppose, because certain people are just say, oh, I really like country music the most, or I really like hard rock the most, or, you know, and that's what they're going to zero in to. And I suppose they need to know, you know, pretty much what they're getting into when they follow an artist. And I guess people have to do that, but it's not to my liking necessarily.
Well, there's a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different types of artists. And just, you know, for the path I happen to be on, for me, it's about dialing in and zoning in into a certain sound. You know, there's a lot of great artists that have experimented with all different kinds of sounds.
Right.
Most of them you've never heard of because they're so eclectic. They try so many things. But then some of them you have heard of, and they get huge, huge, and they're just known as who they are. They're not known
right.
as a genre. They're known
right.
as...
Right, and just, that's... I like that the best, of course.
Yeah.
I really
but that's
do.
That's a, you know, sometimes
it's
those
rare.
Are once in a generation,
yeah.
twice in a generation type artists.
Yeah, people you know. Are, artists are put into certain categories, and I guess it makes it easier for the fans, the listeners, you know.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that's all about, I think. As far as your style, you know what? I want to talk about something else that I read. A little bit more that I read about you, and I'm just going to read this as it is. It's short. Rafe's 10,000 Lakes summer tour, that was last year, right?
Yeah.
Introduced his music to tens of thousands of country fans across the Midwest and laid the foundation for a completely homegrown national following. And that's, I know that's the truth. And here's what you said. We're honest, and I think that's what our fans like. They know we're not social media influencers. We're authentic. We play really loud, and we always come to town to kick ass. And that's a wonderful inspiration for people to hear you live, and I think
you know that's something. If I died right now, I put that on my tombstone because that's, I mean, things may change, you
yeah.
know, next year, then year after, but at least for right now, we're young, we're rocking and rolling, we're coming to town to, you know, do what we got to do, and that's, you know, we're not trying to. It's hurt me a lot. It's hurt me a lot not focusing on social media. I could be in a completely different place than I am right now if I were to focus more, if I focus more on social media. And that's just the way the industry is going right now. It's all about numbers and it's about metrics. And
yeah.
I find it a lot easier to go to sleep at night if I know that I'm being true to who I am and being authentic and not, you know, lip syncing to a video in my car of, you know, some
right,
fake
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. We have some people in the studio applauding all that.
But everybody's got their own path, and I have a lot of respect for people that might choose that route. But for me, you know, I've built the brand off of the authenticity thing. And so for me to do that at this point would be a
tragic,
not on brand.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
So it's. Backed myself into a corner that's difficult to grow from because
but
it's...
it's your authentic place, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, your words really remind us of a friend of ours, Scarlett Woods, who comes to town often, and she's the same way. She feels the same way, almost her exact words, when she talks about social media. But, hey, you gotta choose to go there or not
yeah.
and stick to it, I guess, huh?
Well, and I've obviously spent a lot of time, you know, being bitter and resentful toward the whole social media thing. But at the end of the day, you know, in the 70s and in the 80s and the 90s, if you wanted to have global distribution, if you wanted to have people know who you are and listen to your music, and you didn't have a major label behind you, good luck with anything.
Yeah.
So now you have something in your pocket where you can make a quick little video, and if you'd make it right and the algorithm likes it, you can get 10 million views and boom. So in a way, it's more power to the artist because now you don't need a label. You have social media.
Right, and
but
that's
what
important.
It's doing is it's a transfer of work because it used to be the label would go out and they'd scout and they'd find someone that's really talented. They'd say, we're going to go watch this person play tonight. And then they'd go to the show and then they'd maybe set up a meeting. Hey, we like you. You know, come.
Yeah.
Come, let's go get a dinner sometime. And then maybe they end up getting a record deal and the label has the global distribution. The label has the means with which to get their music out there.
Right.
Now you can throw a song up on Spotify for $10. You can everything on your own.
That's right.
So it just means it's harder because everybody's doing it, but it's easier because you can do it on your own. But the competition has gotten just insane.
Oh, I like how you explained it. Yeah. That is the pros and cons of it for an artist themselves. Yeah. Another song?
For sure.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think I've ever played this one before. But it's a great time to do when you're on the radio. Bust out something entirely new. I don't have a whole lot of time to sit around and play guitar on my couch anymore. It's usually the first time I play a new song is on stage or on the radio.
Oh, wow. Wow.
This is kind of a beachy little song.
It's the only tiki bar on the Sugar White Shore. Ain't seen an empty stool since it opened its doors. That sign says they won't serve you if you ain't an adult, but you can take that with a grain of salt. Oh, Ronnie, he's a scotty with a Ray-Ban tan. He's been shooting Jose Cuervo since 11 a.m. He's gonna brag about the size of that snapper he caught. You can take that with a grain of salt. On that margarita rim, yeah, it tastes just right. It's a beach bum bar, it's a laid-back life. If you're reeling, you're just feeling that tequila. No, it ain't your fault. Just take it with a grain of salt. He starts pouring doubles when the clock hits five, telling short, tall stories about his messed up life, about a buttload of money in a Swiss bank vault. But you can take that with a grain of salt. On that margarita rim, yeah, it tastes just right. It's a beach bum bar, it's a laid back life. If you're reeling, you're just feeling that tequila. No, it ain't your fault. Just take it with a grain of salt. Yeah, we're all full of it. It is what it is. But the minute that you get your lips on that margarita rim, yeah, it tastes just right. It's a beach bum bar, it's a laid-back life. If you're reeling, you're just feeling that tequila. No, it ain't your fault. No, it ain't your fault. Just take it with a grain of salt.
Beachy, beachy sort of thing.
Yeah. What was the actual title of that one, though?
It's called Take It With a Grain of Salt.
Take It With a Grain of Salt.
It's too new to have a title, but so I just decided what the title is.
Yeah, and I wrote that down. So let's see. Looking forward to next month's Beat Farm on Friday, May 17th. Carl and I are going to be entertaining a little bit. We're going to be joined by others to cover a few Bob Dylan songs and give you the details about our upcoming Dylan Acoustic Jam. Mark Poyer, the executive director of Armory Arts and Music Center, he's going to be here. He plays in our jam group every Monday. And he'll report on more ways in which the Twin Ports will be celebrating Duluth Dylan Fest 24. So don't think twice. Just be sure to tune in or stream the next live Third Friday show from 5 to 6 o'clock on May 17th, right here on ktwh.org and 99.5 Two Harbors, Minnesota. Yep, Carl has agreed to it, so we're on the next Third Friday Beet Farm show. Well, you know, Rafe, I see that we're starting to run out of time, which is always the saddest part of the hour for me, because I could do this for another hour at least. So as we get toward the end of the hour, though, I do want to say it's been an incredible pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you had to come clear up here and... you know, it's just for a one-hour gig, and we so appreciate your doing that. Yeah.
Well, you said that it's going to be re-aired also, so I'll try to get some people to check it out.
Oh, yeah. So, actually, it's re-aired this Sunday. I'm glad you mentioned it, from 3 to 4 o'clock. However, anybody can go on to ktwh.org, and all of the beet farms are archived there.
Cool.
So you could maybe give it a couple of days until our wonderful moose, Bruce the Moose, gets it up there. And then all of them are there. You can, you know, hear all the local artists we've had in here, but especially yours. So it'll be there. And if you would play one more song for us, I think I would call it... the icing on the cake, because it sure has been sweet to have you here. Rafe Carlson, thanks again.
It's been a lot of fun. We'll try a cover.
All right, a cover song is going to take us out here.
It's been stuck in my head for a couple days, so I got to
cool.
Get it out there. Make room for the next one to get stuck in my head. It's an old Chris Stapleton tune.
I was looking for a change of scene. You were looking at a magazine. It was red carpets and limousines. The grass seemed so much greener. All we wanted was to get there fast. So we packed up everything we had, running on hope in a tank of gas. Our dreams ain't just for dreamers. We couldn't wait to leave that life behind. Trying to find salvation in a city limit sign. One of those LA nights, when the stars come out, when the stars come out, a sign. And it burns so bright, they drown the downtown lights. When the stars come out, oh, when the stars come out. Everybody, somebody, someday. Everybody's got a part to play. Everybody's trying to find a way to say what needs saying. Everybody's got a friend of a friend, somebody that can get you in. Begging angels for sin, the game we're all playing. You and I, we're gambling, just holding cards that we can't see. I'm betting on you, and you're betting on me. One of those LA nights, when the stars come out, when the stars come out.